You're listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
What does it mean to differentiate on service? I don't know. Seeing more and more agencies of different size and model embrace different service capabilities. And so service people are, infinitely valuable if you think about the human side of things, but there are certain capabilities that don't need a human to necessarily add real value.
We will be bringing you conversations with industry influencers and experts discussing a variety of topics focused on our theme, because relationships matter.
Now let's dive in.
So Chris, super excited to have this conversation with you today. We met about, 2 years ago at, or maybe it was just a year ago, at InsurTech Boston. And had a great conversation. And I feel like we, after that, we felt like we've known each other for about 20 years.
I was going to say, when you put it on the calendar, it seems very, very recent, but it felt and is, I think, very organic. So that was a great call out.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us today. If you wouldn't mind just sharing a little bit about your background with our audience, because you have such a great background and your current role is so cool. That I want them to understand kind of where you came from and why you are where you are today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So currently I am the executive director of ACT, which is the Agency Council for Technology at the National Big Eye, and have done that just for about 9 months, I guess it is. But pretty cool. And we can talk about ACT however you would like, because it is a neat organization. It's one of the number of programs that the National Big Eye offers to all independent agencies that are a member of their state association. But in a nutshell, what was appealing to me about it was I had grown to really have a great passion for helping independent agencies. I'm a huge champion of the channel, and we can talk about some of the data, I guess, but ridiculously healthy and a great way to distribute insurance and take care of, our end consumer. But this highly collaborative industry-wide conversation around how technology can enable an independent agency strategy is just awesome. And that's what ACT does. So it brings carriers, technology partners, agents and brokers, and other organizations that similarly care about the channel together in a non-competitive, completely agnostic forum to talk about meaningful topics and try to produce content and insights and best practices and lists of resources for agencies to think about how tech can solve their problems.
Yeah, I love that.
I was going to say, prior to that, though, I spent 28 years on the carrier side and worked at a super regional carrier. I'm here in Ohio and did a lot of different things. So I have a fine arts degree. So I began my career as a graphic designer and worked my way through marketing and sales, ran a personal lines division, was involved in compliance and employee training. So I've done a lot of things, which I think is a testimony. If you're curious, put your heart into your personal development and go explore. This is a phenomenal industry. But the last decade prior to joining the Big Eye, I was part of the senior team that led agency distribution for the carrier and found like a loose ball, I guess, if you will, that was sort of emerging technology space, a lot of interaction in the industry, and curious about it, like I mentioned, and just leaned into it. And when Ron Berg, who was the predecessor here at ACT, started to plot his retirement, he little clandestine phone call was like, "Hey, dude, would you be interested?" It took like five months for me to kind of think about what it would look like to leave after so many years. But it's great to be a part of this industry, and I appreciate the opportunity to tell the story, but also to continue to build our relationship.
Yeah, Chris. Well, and one of the things that I think that is fantastic about your current role is I have a broader understanding of your impact on just the humans within our industry as well, and how you like to develop them and mentor them. And I think this puts you in a fantastic position to help kind of mentor and develop our agents, right? And kind of push them in the direction that they need to in order to basically survive in the industry at this point.
It's interesting you say that. The conversation can go anywhere, but I do have a passion for mentorship and coaching and sponsorship, I guess, regardless of however each of those words means something different to me. But having been the beneficiary of a few phenomenal mentors and leaders along the way, to me, it's a great way to pay it forward.
Let's talk a little bit about, we'd love to hear your thoughts on how you've seen agencies evolve over the last few years. given the evolution of technology and how that's matured within the insurtech space, like, how have you seen agencies kind of think differently about it if you look back 5 years ago versus today?
Yeah, 5 years ago, it was a lot of fear or just sort of giving them the proverbial Heisman, you know? And I think if we look back at this, and got a lot of great friends and like actual supporters of what I do now that are in the tech space. So I say this with, you know, peace and love. But you go back 5 or 6 years ago, I mean, I don't think this is shocking to anybody. A lot of the new entrants into the tech space had a point of view that agent distribution was a dated model and not adding value, and it was driving expense and inefficiency and a substandard customer experience. And so with that, it makes a great deal of sense to me that highly tenured distributors and agents and carriers would look at them and be like, I don't want any part of you. But there was a great deal of value being added in certain ways. And so as we've gone over time, I think as technology entrants have started to get their arms around what the economics of our industry looks like and how, what problems are worth paying to solve, what things are sort of inherent in our industry, and how do you start to package together a solution that solves meaningful problems with an ROI, not only a financial ROI, but also sort of a cultural and a capability ROI, if you think sort of opportunity cost. And so that fear and or total just disregard for tech that might have been, and I say that, and we've been doing technology for a long time. I mean, 20 years ago, I was a field rep and we were doing portal training and talking about comparative raters and T-filing and all of these types of things. So this isn't a new conversation. It's just got a new set of buzzwords, but starting to see far greater interest in adoption and agencies getting more intentional about thinking how strategy can enable the strategies that they have. And which is where I usually start a conversation is, what are you trying to accomplish, yeah, you know, with an agency? And so, yeah, I don't think you can deploy one piece of new technology or fully maximize technology that you already have unless you actually have a specific path or strategy for the business you're in. So I always say, start with what you want your agency to be and think about how technology can bring that to life.
So let's talk about that a little bit. I feel like many times when I talk to an agency about what's your value proposition, right, that's driving your strategy, not until maybe the last year or two, it was usually service, right? Like, we out-service the agency that's down the road. We service our customers better. And knowing that the technology is going to impact service, right? In fact, it might even eliminate a lot of the need for an agency to have a solid service strategy, because there'll be a lot of technology taking care of a lot of those inbound requests, Chris, right? So how are you seeing agencies kind of shift their strategy around different things that might not be, I'm going to out-service the agency that's down the street?
It's a little bit cliched, but niches and specialization seem to come up a lot. And, you know, you and I both have traditional independent agency carrier roots. And so, I mean, how many times have we talked to agencies who say, I'm a generalist, you know, and, yep, we'll continue to pay 50-50 commission splits and these types of things. And over time that starts to unravel because you can't be everything to everybody. And so even with that, what does it mean to differentiate on service? I don't know. I mean, it's seeing more and more agencies of different size and model embrace different service capabilities. And so service people are, I mean, infinitely valuable if you think about the human side of things, but there are certain capabilities that don't need a human to necessarily add real value, or maybe lesser caliber human beings. That's a wrong word. Less connected to the home base, if you will, right? And so, yep, to see people and agencies looking at virtual assistant models, right? And they're, yep, creating them as part of the team. So can you outsource some of the more routine tasks? Leveraging carrier service centers. I mean, that was a thing not too many years ago, or that was only a concept for the largest of the large. And yeah, I've seen more small town agencies start to look at it and say, hey, it's a 24/7 capability, position it as a value add. maybe sort of syncing that up with natural attrition as the agency grows and there's retirements or those types of things is hard. But leveraging those kinds of capabilities is something that you see more of. But service is something we need. I mean, and this is sort of an interesting spot. And I sometimes feel like maybe I run counter to grain on this conversation, because if you start to look at the metrics, even an incredibly fast growing agency, use sales velocity as a metric, which is something that Reagan or the Marsh Berrys use, but new business as a percentage of total revenue or of premium, fast growing agencies, still 20% of their business or 80% of their business in any given year or 90 comes from existing clients. And we know that investing in a retention strategy, 1 or 2 point lift in overall premium retention.
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal downstream economic impact on the finances of an agency. So investing in those kinds of capabilities is something we see a lot more of too. And that can happen via automation. There's a lot of automation, drip marketing tools. You can kind of make a very personalized, agency specific strategy and value prop oriented campaign, and then kind of set it and forget it. Let certain triggers influence. So we could spend a lot of time on those, but the leveraging technology to do stuff like that. And then when a human being, when your customer, personal or commercial, needs real advice and insight and consultative service, now your human beings are there to really shine and use their expertise.
Yeah. It's the putting your human beings in a position to actually be like risk managers and risk counselors versus processing transactions.
Yeah, well, totally. Right. And I think that's really what customers want. And that's where technology really starts to add value, and having an agency's account execs or service account executives or CSRs or whatever, there's not much value to the customer by typing their address and rating information into 5 different platforms to get a quote or to kind of look at a renewal option or to handle an endorsement or something along those lines. So leveraging technology to allow a human being to type something once and then never again is phenomenal, right? And that's not helping, and it's not to like reduce headcount. That's to maximize what a human being can do and get the right people doing the right things. And today we could talk about ChatGPT or whatever that is, but human beings and what agencies come to customers come to an agency for is insight, it's advice, it's consultative services, right? And if those that don't want it or don't value it, they're the ones that are buying, online on, some of the sites that way. So marrying those up is a real opportunity.
Absolutely. Let's go down that path. Let's go down the path of AI. I had this conversation yesterday with a couple other industry folks, and my opinion is I think it could potentially have a pretty significant impact to how we do business, but I'm not going to place a bet on it yet. So where's your head at, Chris? Where do you think that's going to go? How do you think that's going to change the way that both carriers and agencies engage with policyholders in the future?
So I was sort of immediately fascinated by, ChatGPT or ChatGTP? And I know that's just sort of like one sort of now in the news example of what AI is. So I'm kind of in your place. I'm not going to place a short-term bet on AI materially altering our industry. But if you, and I do this, I go down some other rabbit holes completely outside. I'm sort of a science futurist, sort of why are we all here junkie. And there's some really, really fascinating stuff happening with AI. And I don't know what that means. Maybe I'm old enough where that still scares me, but I think I'm young enough or sort of trying to look at the glasses half full also to think about the capabilities that brings. So this ChatGPT, I think it's a long way from just being embedded on an agency's website as a way of providing advice and insight, but it's also only like 3 weeks old, really, in terms of scale. So I think there's E&O risks. I think there's, a lot of risk that comes along with those types of things. But when we start to look at rating models and risk prevention and mitigation and pricing and some of the stuff that's not as romantic and sexy, I think when you start to get into that level of what's going on in our industry, I think there's value sooner than later. But like replacing a human being interacting with somebody, I don't know. I mean, I could be completely wrong. What is it, McKinsey or whatever? One of them said many years ago that we often overestimate how quickly something happens, but underestimate its impact. I think there's some sort of concept about that. So when it happens, it'll be profound, but I'm not certain when.
So what's fun, this takes me back to an article that I read, I think in a dentist's office, I don't know, maybe when I was in my late 20s. And it was a Time magazine article that talked about the exponential effect of the advancement of technology. And this author talked about how he thought by the year 2040, we would be able to download our consciousness onto a computer. So essentially we could live forever, even if our bodies weren't
living.
And so when I think about how quickly technology has accelerated within just insurance and insurtech over the last 5 years, and then where AI has gone today, that could be possible, right? And so to your point, the exponential effect of the advancements of technology could make our industry completely different 5 or 10 years from now. And so that's super exciting, but it's also, to your point, kind of scary.
It is. And I think you just have to have, like, there's some, it's the old analogy, once the toothpaste out of the tube, it doesn't go back in. So we aren't, via any level of resistance as an industry or as individuals, or probably even as a mass level of society, going to curb the development of AI and what it can do. Now, does it become regulated? You know, are there certain things that come in and around, you know, sort of the, I guess the ethical and the moral implications of how it could be deployed. I don't know. Right. But your point, I consume a lot of this stuff outside of our industry, but I guess depending on your point of view and what you may be following, the current sort of social and societal version of humankind is at least 6,000 or 7,000 years, you know, years old. Some might even argue older. But think about what's happened just in the last 100.
Yeah.
And so it's a sliver of a hair on this grand continuum of how much change has happened. So it's worked fully in a hockey puck, right? I mean, your phone is truly out of date in 2 years, but 15 years ago, we didn't even have these phones. So it's nuts to think about that. And what does that do to an industry? What does that do to how do we all interact? And I think if you start to go down that path, Bobby, you get to the point where not only what we do and how we do it, the why we do it becomes very different too, because risk will look very different. I mean, so the most simple one and the common one is, if none of us are actually behind the wheel of a car, what is insurable then about a fully autonomous vehicle that's completely connected to each other through AI? There's no stoplights anymore. I mean, you start to kind of have those futurist conversations, and what's insurable there? We still need personal liability. You need protect, but like, I don't know. It's a fascinating thing that we could go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. That's where cyber is really going to pick up. And even if even when I look at the last 6 months of just the number of customers that are asking for cyber insurance, the recognition that there is an actual exposure that needs to be covered, with limits that are higher than whatever they're getting thrown in on their small BOP, it is coming to fruition. So I don't know. I think we are in an industry at a time where it's going to change significantly, and it's going to scare some folks, but I'm like super excited. Like how are we going to help, you know, kind of maneuver this and help our industry move forward during this change?
I think that's fascinating. There's a book I read, and it's been pretty life altering to me. Actually, I just reshared some information about the author on my LinkedIn a week or two ago. Author's Jennifer Garvey Berger. And the book at surface level sounds a little bit like any other typical leadership book, but it's 5 leadership mind traps. But the subtitle is Leading Through Complexity. But she's she's a neuroscientist and has really figured out a way to have this conversation in a business setting that you can deploy personally. But the 5 mind traps we have, but the backstory of this is exactly what we're talking about. And so the ability of the brain to cope with how complex the world is and how quickly and rapidly we're changing, the brain hasn't been able to keep up with that yet through its, again, belief structures aside, but the evolutionary way of our brain evolving, it just hasn't been able to evolve as quickly as we've been able to build technology. And so all of the sophistication that we deal with every day and the complexity of our lives, either in our home or schooling or professional lives, a lot of the things that we deal with as problems and the hurdles we deal with as human beings can be categorized into these five leadership mind traps. And it has to do with the brain's capability of dealing with complexity and the propensity to tell ourselves stories, to simplify or to categorize things in ways that it's just not as simple as it was even just, you know, 50 years ago. And so she gives you tools and resources how to get through that stuff. But the point of that about being excited, you have to be willing to be excited about it, invest in it, and recognize the amount of change, you know, we're in. And so you and I probably see a lot of folks, maybe outside of our industry, but they're fighting electric cars. And I want to have this, is it because you feel like they're being jammed down your throat? You fundamentally don't agree with maybe the sort of the energy source type of thing, or you just like the sound and smell of a 69 Camaro? Like,
yeah.
But, or is it just change? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and if we take that analogy and we apply it to our industry of how independent agents are having to evolve right now, what are the best ones doing, Chris, in your mind, to kind of get excited about the change and not be the one that is resistant to the electric cars and still wanting to drive their 69 Camaro?
Both. The best ones can afford to have a Tesla and a 69 Camaro in their garage. Right? Kind of a foot in both worlds. No, but in all sincerity, I think it does start with the ones, and I'm thinking of a few very specifically. It starts with their ability to tell their story. And they're very clear about what it is they want to be. And what I mean by that, I mean some basic stuff from business planning and strategy, but they can talk about their financial goals in 5 years, their geographic goals in 5 years, the mix of business in 5 years, how many employees you have, and how do you want to compete on Main Street going back to service. And, you know, I live in a part where there's a section of road like 9 or 10 miles from me that's 5 miles long, and I can pass 13 insurance agencies, some captive, exclusives, some independents, you know, but presumably they're all still in business, right? And they all still have customers. So they figure out a way to compete differently, but starting with all of that and then getting really, really clear about what capabilities you need to bring those to life.
Yep.
Then that starts to feed the conversation around technology choices and the talent you hire. And are you a remote? Are you an organization that embraces remote, or do you want everybody in your office? I mean, these are all the things that I think I'm adamant they have to be resolved before people start to buy technology. And then once you have that, then you can go through this process of looking at, and the good ones are, am I using what I already have?
Yep.
If no, why? Do I understand that I'm on the most current version? Is it a training issue? Oftentimes those types of things, and again, back to the best performing agencies, they'll start with the people and the processes before they'll look at the technology solutions. And so have I given the employees in the agency the most clear expectations of their role? Do they understand why we're asking them to do things a certain way? And then are they being measured and audited against performing those types of things?
Yep.
So
yep.
You've been to a lot of agencies too. It's still common enough to see CSRs doing the exact same job description 4 different ways. So what is technology going to fix if everybody's starting in a different spot? So
yeah.
It's a long way around of saying these are what the higher performing agencies are doing and how they're thinking about how technology can bring stuff to life. And then once you have all that done, now you can look at your current suite of technology and figure out, am I using the right ones, and start to jettison those that don't add value, start to engage in new ones.
So I love that. I think sometimes, agents get really caught up in selling, right? And so they don't, like, instead of working in the business, right, they don't take a time to step back and work on the business.
Love that.
So, like, talk to us a little bit about ACT and maybe some other big eye resources that agents could leverage, right, to help them kind of think bigger about their business. The other question I have for you, which I'm sorry to throw two at you at once, is one of the other challenges I've seen with technologies and agencies is they know what they want, right? They've already gone through the process of strategic planning and understanding where they're going, and they adopt the technology, but they can't figure out how to quite successfully operationalize it within their agency operations. So kind of talk to us about maybe some thoughts you have on how can agents be more successful in actually taking that technology and leveraging to its fullest potential once they adopt it.
We at ACT, so kind of answering both questions at the same time, we just published like 7 considerations for choosing new technology in your agency, and it goes through a lot of these steps. So I think you're like 3 or 4 steps in before you even get to calling a new technology provider. So it's strategy, yes, and why, and getting your employees engaged and all those kind of things. But this comes together in that my advice for operationalizing a new tool couples with what this person and I were chatting about was, when you're engaging with a new technology partner, provider, you should be considering them as a partner. And so part of what you buy should come with some training, some onboarding, some long-term consultation, some implementation support, those types of things. And I have seen enough examples of it's like buying something on Amazon, and then if it breaks, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And how do you get it back? And so being very intentional about negotiating some sort of post-implementation period of time to help with that. And it might cost more, but my gosh, if you pay for 6 months of consultation from the company that built the product and presumably knows best how it's going to solve problems and integrate, it's definitely worth engaging them longer, even if it's a financial cash outlay, than it is to deal with all the change management issues and having bought the thing and in 6 months having it not be even part of your agency operation. So that's a really important part of it that I don't think we think enough about, is post-implementation training and onboarding and change management and sort of that cycle of continuous improvement, like sitting back and being intentional about why isn't it working, what's working, and how do you systematically chip away at the gaps. But the other part of it too, being a little bit sort of in your facetious, this person who I mentioned, was that if you're going to engage with a technology partner, especially somebody that's a little bit newer to this space, make them give you examples of failed engagements. Because not everything works,
yeah,
all the time. It's even the biggest of the big providers can probably sit down and say, here's what we've learned when something didn't go well, and here's how we've adjusted our approach. And so if a rep at a company can't talk about something that went bad and how they were able to work their way through that, then A, they haven't probably been around long enough. Maybe they don't even have a successful implementation. Or maybe you don't want to do business with somebody that can't be that authentic. So that's a little bit kind of hardcore, but
that's fantastic advice.
I mean, it's your business, right? I mean, nobody's going to care more about your agency than you. Just period, end of story. So don't be afraid to stand up for yourself in these situations.
And I love that advice, Chris, because if you have someone who you're potentially partnering with who can't tell you the problems that they had and how they solve for them, if you run into a problem, are they going to solve your problems, right? Post-implementation. So that is awesome advice. Thank you for sharing. So lastly, I just want I want to give you the floor to share a little bit more about what ACT is doing and how agents can leverage ACT as a tool as they're exploring technology and kind of building out their business strategies moving forward.
I appreciate that. And that is an evolving thing right now. So I mentioned I've been with the firm about 9 months and had incredibly large shoes to fill with when Ron Berg retired, and he had big shoes to fill. But ACT is intended to bring member agencies and carriers and technology partners together in a collaborative format. And we are a work group centric organization. And even as we think about the strategy and where we point our energy and the topics that are now most meaningful to agents, I still feel like the work group model adds value. And I just had this conversation with another partner. I mean, what other place in the industry are people on their own dime coming together and either in person sitting on stage with competitors or getting on a Zoom call with competitors, talking about the same thing, and then trying to create content and tools and resources to help independent agencies succeed. So there's probably other places that are doing it, but it's definitely happening here. And so what we're trying to do is, how do you get more agencies aware of that? How do we get more of our carriers involved with that? And so ACT is fully member funded. And there's about 70 firms that support ACT. Most of them are technology companies and they're pretty engaged. But I think getting agencies plugged into this. So every agency who's a member of their state big I is by default a member of ACT and can come to any meeting we have and can use any resource we have. And I think leaning into that and understanding the resources at your disposal is the first step. And if talk to your state, they might have tools and resources that are available. If they don't, we might. And if neither of us do, then at least knowing that you're thinking about that can help fuel and feed future ideas and things that we could be working on. And I would say this as an appeal to carriers that might be listening that aren't a part of ACT. I know, because I sat in your desk, that you're spending money on tools and resources to help independent agencies, a lot of them in the technology space. And I would presume you're sitting behind closed doors having conversations about adoption, and adoption not being what you would love it to be.
Of course.
Join the conversation. And it would be a great way to get involved and to support what's going on at ACT and to participate in sharing that message.
Well, Chris, I'm so excited for your work at ACT and how you're going to impact our industry moving forward. I would reiterate to any agencies that are listening to use the resources available to you there, especially if you're a Big I member. There is so much out there that probably is going untapped. And we talked a lot about how things are going to change and they might change very quickly. And those resources could become very important to you and your success moving forward. But Chris, always a pleasure to chat with you. We go all over the place when we talk. So this was a really fun conversation. We went in a lot of different directions, but appreciate you and the work that you're doing, and also appreciate your friendship. And
likewise, yes. Absolutely. Totally agree. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance.
We will be hosting episodes with industry experts on a variety of trending topics this year and would really love for you to listen and subscribe.
Coterie Insurance is on a mission to simplify small business insurance for agents, brokers, and our partners. To learn more about Coterie Insurance and this episode, please visit our show notes below.